Amen and amen. We have so many things that I believe that we want to get into. If you come back with me here to the epistle to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, there are a few scriptures that we've already learned a lot from, we've already talked about on this journey over the last few weeks as we have been devoting ourselves to learning and studying and reminding ourselves about things that we may even have known but have allowed to slip, or things that we just need to get sharper in. There are a number of scriptures that we've read. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. In the Amplified, it says, "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit." There's a translation that says, "Being led by the Holy Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. And to that end, keep alert, watch, with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people." And then Paul says, "And pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth and proclaim boldly the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." Pray at all times. Oh, something happens when the people of God pray. He says, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Keep on praying at all times, in every season, on every occasion. Let prayer be first. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And I see that river of prayer rising. And I've seen it, I felt that over the last few weeks. That prayer of river rising. That river of prayer rising. When prayer goes from just being a sprinkle and something that we do every now and then, inconsistently and just wishy-washy, and when it becomes streams, and it begins to flow, and we begin to devote more time and consistency, and great grace begins to manifest in our prayer lives. And when it goes from there and we elevate further and have that dream and that vision to be able to get to a place in our prayer lives where not just a few of our prayers are answered, not just some of our prayers are answered, but most of our prayers are answered. And when we begin to yield more and more to the Holy Spirit, and then we begin to elevate to such a place where prayer becomes unbridled, unhindered, unlimited, and God's people just pray and pray and pray. My friends, that prayer becomes a river, and that river brings floods of God's blessings. It brings floods of miracles into our lives. That river becomes the thing that we begin to swim in, and we begin to operate at a level in our lives, both individually and corporately as the body of Christ, where there's just no hindrance at all. There's so much power and authority that is unleashed upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says to pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season. Amen. Pray with purpose, strong purpose, and perseverance, interceding for all of God's consecrated people. I also want you to read, we've read also, talking about confidence in prayer in 1 John in chapter 5 and verse 14. Look there with me, please. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. The importance of confidence, having confidence in prayer. It says there, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him." So there's a confidence. There is a way that our confidence grows in the place of prayer. When we pray right, When we pray according to the will of God, it says, we know that he hears us. We know that he hears us. And whatsoever we ask of him, not just a few things, he says, whatsoever we ask of him, when we pray right, when we pray led by the Holy Spirit, he says, we know that we have our desires and the petitions that we have desired of him. Amen. I want us to look at one other scripture that we've already read in Romans chapter 8. I'm just doing a little bit of a 5-minute, 6-minute review here. And I want us to get into a number of things that I believe that the Lord is going to help us see clearer tonight in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody can pray. All of us can pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't want you thinking prayer is just for some select few. Only some people can pray right, can pray with results, can pray and receive answers. That is not true. That is not true at all. In fact, as a matter of fact, you're going to see some of the scriptures we're going to read tonight. You're going to see anyone can pray. Anyone can pray. Prayer isn't just for a select few. It's not just for, we used to call them the Jim Jim Christians. Those who are perfect in everything they do. Those who get it right all the time. Those who know everything. Or the preachers, the pastors, those who preach the word. No. We are the body of Christ collectively. All of us are called to be houses of prayer. All of us are called. And you know what? Your prayer can even be like kindergarten prayers, where you're just starting from that elementary level of praying. And every time you come, you're like that man that Jesus spoke about in the temple, who when he comes, he beats on his chest and says, Lord, I don't even deserve to be here. I don't even qualify because I've not done the things that you've instructed me, the things that you've commanded me. I've tripped up. I've made mistakes. I've disappointed you. And I don't even deserve to be here. But Lord, I ask you for your mercy. I ask you for, listen, even if that is where you are, even if that's where you are starting from, welcome, welcome. Because this prayer, this life, this grace, this garment, is for you. And if you start from there, then the Lord can elevate you. He can elevate you. And if you will, with an open heart, go to a lot of the things that we've learned over the last few weeks and that we're going to keep learning as we move forward. Learn tonight. If you would engage them, you take hold of them and you begin to use them. It won't be long. It won't be long where you become like that other person who prays with confidence, who prays and they know they are praying according to the will of God. They know they are praying and the Holy Spirit is quickening. The word is quickening things in their hearts and they are getting results. So don't despair wherever you are. Just be willing. Just be willing. The Bible says if you are willing and obedient, you eat the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. If you're willing to obey the things you hear, if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to put on that garment, oh, something good will happen to you, my brother, my sister. Something good will happen. And we will all elevate together and begin to swim in that river. And when we begin to swim in that river, there is no stopping us. There is no stopping us. Hallelujah. 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 The gates of hell will not be able to stop us. No hindrances, no limitations. I don't care what the dryness is in the land or in your community, in your nation. No matter what is going on. The armor, the garment of prayer will help you break through. And suddenly you will see things begin to happen. Heaven will open over you. Miracles will be pouring out upon your life. And not just in your life, but other people that you pray for. Remember, learning to pray right isn't always prayer that is focused on you. Learning to pray right many times begins from praying over God's interests, the things that God desires. The kingdom of God come. The gospel ministered, testimonies, light and salt in the earth by the believers, by God's children, ministers that are preaching, having the grace and the utterance and clarity and boldness, protection for God's people, for God's servants, for God's missionaries all over the world, other people who you know, God's people, praying for them, praying for them. Other people that you know and their interests, people who you know maybe are struggling, other believers or people that you're interceding for to come into the faith, to come into Christ. And then your own needs, your own life personally, how you commit yourself continually to God. If you will pray right, if you will learn to follow God's order in prayer, my brothers and my sisters, you will see miracles. You'll see the heavens open over you. Let's go back into the word. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the believers, for the saints, according to the will of God. So praying in the will of God means we learn to lean more and more on the Holy Spirit. We invite him. Holy Spirit, help me pray today. Help me pray this morning. Help me pray tonight. In the name of Jesus, I quicken the word of God in my spirit. Help me yield. Help me know exactly how I ought to pray. And then if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, sometimes you turn it over to your spiritual language. And sometimes even when you're not praying in your spiritual language, there's just a quickening in your heart. Certain things that the Holy Spirit begins to put his quickening on, and then you begin to pray. And you start little, it starts just casual and starts slowly. And before you know it, it's a stream. It's a sprinkle. It's a stream. It's a river. And before you know it, things begin to happen in the realm of the Spirit. And he says, we know because we pray with the Holy Spirit. We learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. He says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Glory be to God. So we pray led by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to where we were in our most recent service in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16, talking about the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. James chapter 5, verse 16, in the second part, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it says in the Amplified Version, it says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in his working. Look at that. The earnest, this is effectual, fervent prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in his working. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And this is not the first time we're saying this, but effectual fervent prayer, in order to become more proficient, so that our prayers can become more effectual, more fervent, continued, and productive. It is important that we always pray from our heart. Pray from your heart. Don't be detached when you pray. Pray from your heart. Let that prayer touch your heart. Whatever prayer does not touch your heart cannot touch the heart of God. Let it be heartfelt. So meditate in the word of God first before you pray. Take some time. Maybe the day before, maybe earlier before. Take some time. Or even right through the week, right through. Make sure you are a student of the word. Someone who meditates in the word day and night. And when you do that, you find that it's easy for the Holy Spirit to quicken the word of God in you, in your heart, as you pray. Sometimes while praying, pause to meditate or to consider God's word regarding what you are praying. Make sure your heart connects with what you are praying, and make sure that you have a basis in the word of God or a foundation for what you are praying. This is important. Don't rush or hurry through prayer. Be deliberate, be planned, be engaged, be anointed. Be deliberate, be planned, be engaged, be anointed. You know, even though this story in Mark chapter 4, the story of a man called blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10, I should say, even though that story is not strictly, it doesn't say it's a scripture about prayer, all through the years, I've always seen that story as one of the best illustrations that reflects what effectual fervent prayer is. It's the story of a blind man, and most of us most likely know this story in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. It says this, let me read this to you from the King James. It says, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, that's Jesus. Jesus was going to Jericho. He was passing through Jericho and ministering. And a great multitude of people were there. This is why I said this before in some of our teachings. You know, everybody says, oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, I pray. Oh, I pray. Everybody uses prayer. Is almost like a part of our language, a part of our vocabulary. But many of the people who talk about it don't necessarily pay attention to learning to pray right. That's why this is really important, learning to pray right. Amen. He says there was a great multitude around Jesus, but then he mentions this one man, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You see, you can say, if you want to put it that way, at that elementary level, have mercy. That's all he could pray. Have mercy on me. He didn't know too much scripture. He didn't know too much about prayer. But he had heard about this man, Jesus. Someone had, you know, he was a beggar sitting by the side of the road. So every time, you know, people come by, they help him, they give him a little thing here and there. I believe that at some point, someone had told him. And maybe even sometimes during his, maybe someone would lead him to the temple. And some people will around, he will hang around some people who talk about this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus, the son of David. So he knew that about this Jesus. And all he could ask for was, have mercy on me. He started to pray. He started to beg. Have mercy on me, he said. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And in verse 48, many people charged him that he should hold his peace. They told him, keep quiet, keep quiet. You know, that's how many times when we pray, sometimes circumstances tell us, keep quiet, keep quiet. Sometimes people around us tell us, it's not working. Your prayer is not working. It's not going anywhere. Why are you wasting your time? Keep quiet. Stop talking. Stop praying. No, but we're going to keep on praying. I thank God blind Bartimaeus didn't stop. And they said, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Hold your peace. But he cried the more a great deal. I love it. The more circumstances said, keep quiet, the more he cried out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Son of David, have mercy on me. He cried the more a great deal. And because of his prayer, Jesus stood still in verse 49 and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man and they said unto him, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Rise, he called thee. The same people who said, keep quiet. Now they are saying, he's calling you. Why? You know why? Because your praying will stop Jesus. The Bible says here, Jesus stood still. He responded to this man's prayers. He responded to this man's cry. Jesus will respond to your cry. The Bible says in 1 Peter, the eyes of the Lord are always upon the righteous, and his ears are always open to their prayers. Hallelujah. That's in 1 Peter. And let me see if I can find that particular scripture. I didn't plan to give that to you today, but let me see if I can find it. Hallelujah. This is part of our confidence. This is part of our confidence. I know it's in 1 Peter somewhere, probably chapter 2. And I'm not going to give too much time to this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. I'm not going to give too much time, but I want to read that because the Lord put that in my spirit right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There it is. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Look at that. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The Amplified says, his ears are attentive to their prayer. Every time we pray, the Lord hears us. When blind Bartimaeus was crying out and the crowd was saying, "Hush, hush, hush," and the man wouldn't stop, the Bible said Jesus stood still. In the Amplified, I love it very much. The Bible says that Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And I like the way that the Bible says when he was crying out, let me read that part to you from the Amplified Version. The man cried out and he said, "Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me now." Have mercy on me now. He didn't say, "Have mercy on me tomorrow. Have mercy on me next year." Have mercy on me now. And the Bible says, faith is now. That man had faith in prayer. His prayer touched his heart. This prayer was heartfelt. It was effectual. It was fervent. So he couldn't be silenced. He couldn't be stopped. And because he couldn't be stopped, Jesus stopped for him. When your prayers cannot be stopped, Jesus will stop for you. His ears are constantly attentive to our prayers. And when our prayers are heartfelt, when our prayers flow out from our heart, the Lord will stop and he will give attention. He will respond to whatever we pray. Amen. Amen. Have mercy on me now. Have mercy on me now. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." I like this in verse 50. And the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. He cast away his beggar's garment. Now, mind you, his eyes are not open yet. He hasn't received a miracle yet, but he cast away his beggar's garment. He says, "I'm not going to need this garment anymore." Jesus stopped to pay attention to me. Jesus stopped to listen to my prayer. Oh, my friends, when we come into prayer and elevate in our place of prayer with this kind of attitude, with this kind of grace on our lives, with this kind of desperation, heartfelt, continued earnestness, things happen. Things happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Wait a minute. Jesus could see the man was blind. Everybody knew blind Bartimaeus was blind. In fact, blind was a part of his name. If anybody ever said, "Who's that?" And they would say, "Blind Bartimaeus." Blind for him was like his first name. And yet Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do?" And blind Bartimaeus didn't try to be a smart aleck. I said, "Can't you see I'm blind? Why would you ask me what I want? Can't you see I'm blind?" Oh, no. Look at what he said. He said, "Lord," the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He was articulate. Look at some of the things about blind Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. He was willing to pray, willing to cry out. He had heard about Jesus. He heard that Jesus, the son of David, is a healer. He had a word basis. When he cried, I said, "Lord, have mercy on me now. Have mercy on me now." He had faith. Faith, have mercy on me now. He had expectation. He cast out his garment. He cast away his garment. "I'm not going to need this beggar's garment anymore. Jesus, stop for me. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, I'm going to receive a miracle. Today is my day of miracle. Today is my day for a miracle." Look at that prayer. Look at that prayer. Look at that effectual, fervent, continued, earnest prayer. And look at how it's making tremendous power available. Tremendous power available that is dynamic in his working. That prayer stopped Jesus. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And said, "What do you want?" And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He was articulate. He was articulate. He knew what he wanted, and he told Jesus what he wanted. He knew what he wanted, and he told Jesus what he wanted. He didn't say, can't you see I'm blind? You should know I'm blind. You should know what I want. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Oh, I love it so much. It's one of my best scriptures for talking about effectual fervent prayer. I love it. If you have the Amplified version of the Bible, you see in verse 47, he says, and when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he knew, he had heard about this Jesus, and now he hears this Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, he began to shout. Hallelujah. I know sometimes people say, oh, it doesn't take all that. Not like prayer is supposed to be a shout all the time. Not like praise is supposed to be a shout all the time. We are not shouting because we think it needs to be a shout. It's that because it is heartfelt, sometimes it becomes a shout. Sometimes it becomes tears. Sometimes it becomes a passion that you can't even, you're almost twisted into a pretzel in the place of prayer, expressing yourself to the Lord because it's heartfelt, it's fervent, it's effectual. He said, when he heard, he began to shout, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me now. He said, have mercy on me now. And then again in verse 48, they severely censored him. They reproved him, telling him, keep quiet, keep still. But he kept on shouting all the more, you, Son of David, have mercy on me now. Have mercy on me now. Oh, I love that kind of fervent prayer. I've been blind too long. Lord, I need my eyes open now. I've been a beggar too long. Lord, I need a miracle to make my life normal again. Now. I want to have a normal life now. Hallelujah. I want to have that breakthrough now. I want to have my deliverance now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be released from that yoke now. Hallelujah. I want the salvation of my loved one now. They have been lost for too long, Lord. They are on their way to hell. I want them saved now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want that miracle of my life partner now. I've been single too long. I want that miracle now. Hallelujah. I want my own baby now. I want that baby now. Lord, I've been waiting too long. I want my baby now. I want it now. I want him now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I've been going around the same circle for too long. I want a breakthrough. I want elevation now. I want elevation now. I want my upgrade now. I want my upgrade now. You say, God, you raised the beggar out of the dunghill. I've been in this dunghill for too long. I want my upgrade now. I want my elevation now. Come on. What do you need in your life right now? I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come on, tell the Lord. Lord, I want it now. Lord, I want it now. I receive it now. I ask for it now. I receive it now. In the name of Jesus. Don't be acting cool. Don't be acting. Do you see blind Bartimaeus acting cool? Acting cool, like everybody's there, they are all acting normal. No, Lord, I want my eyes to be open now. I want to be a normal person now. I want to live a normal life now. I want to be able to start my own family now. I want to be able to do a job with my own hands now. I don't want to be a beggar the rest of my life. I want a miracle now. I want to have my own family, my own children, my own wife now. Give me a miracle now. Oh, effectual, fervent prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer. Earnest, heartfelt. Makes tremendous power available that is dynamic in its working. That is dynamic in its working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know, beloved, when you pray, something's happening. Every time you pray, we've read now in 1 Peter 3, The Lord, his eyes are open, is up, they are always upon the righteous, and his ears are always attentive to their prayers. I want you to know, when you pray and when you keep on praying and you don't stop, things are happening. You may not see it, but things are happening. This is why we ought to be praying. We ought to be houses of prayer. Keep on praying. Don't stop. The more they told him, keep quiet, the more, the louder he shouted, Jesus, Son of David. And notice he said, Jesus, Jesus. I don't want any other man. I don't want any other way. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. No wonder the Bible says, hitherto you've asked me nothing. Ask in my name, and whatsoever you ask in my name, my Father will give it unto you. My Father will give it up. Jesus, Jesus. I don't want another handout. I don't want another handout. Another pass me down. I don't want another second-rated, second-hand loan. No. I want a miracle now. Jesus, Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Jesus, you are the miracle worker, Jesus, you are the healer, Jesus, you are my helper, Jesus, I want it now, I want it now, hallelujah. I tell you folks, if you've never been in that place where you were desperate and you needed the Lord to show up for you quick, you can't understand the story of blind Bartimaeus. If you've never been in that place where you needed the Lord to come through for you quick, you can't understand what I'm teaching, what we are learning tonight about effectual fervent prayer. If you've never been in that place where your heart was caught up in what your soul was longing for. One woman was praying in the Old Testament, and the priest saw her, said, are you drunk again? He said, no, priest, I'm not drunk. Hannah's her name, Hannah. I'm not drunk. I'm just emptying my soul to the Lord. I'm just emptying my soul. Effectual fervent prayer is heartfelt. It's prayer that comes from your soul, from the depths of you, and it empties out before the Lord. It empties out before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something's happening. Every time you pray, things are changing. You may not see the evidence of it. It may not be that obvious immediately, but something's happening. Remember Daniel when he was praying? Something's happening. He prayed. He said, I set myself aside to fast and to pray, because some things were supposed to be happening that were not happening. In Daniel and chapter 10, I, Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding in of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. This thing took him over. This thing took him over. This is not psychedelic professional prayer. This is a prayer, let's read it from a book, let's make it sound really nice, cute. Oh no. No. This thing took him over. That's effectual fervent prayer. It takes you over, my friends. It eats you up from deep within. And when the Holy Spirit finds that stirring, it begins to pour out from you. It begins as a sprinkle, but before long, the streams begin to run. And before long, the river begins to flow. Effectual fervent prayer. And he said, he saw the vision. He saw a vision while he was praying. In the course of his prayer, it did look like nothing was happening. He couldn't see anything. But then he said in verse 10, a hand touched me. He saw this in a vision and set me up upon my knee and upon the palms of my hands. It's like how Elijah was praying. We read that last week. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto thee am I sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Verse 12. Then said he unto me, I'm reading from Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I am come for your words from the first day. And because he wouldn't stop, he wasn't just fervent, he was continuous. He was earnest. He said in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, verse 14, I am come to make you understand what will befall your people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you will not stop praying, the angel said. Because you will not stop praying. Now I am come. Now I am come. Beloved, when we pray, things are happening. Things are happening. We may not see them. You remember, we read about Elijah last week in 1 Kings and chapter 18. He told the king, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. But then he went up to the top of the mountain to pray. And he said, in verse 42, 1 Kings chapter 18, he told the king, Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the mountain, Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. Ah! That thing twisted him into a pretzel. It's not a show. He was not trying to demonstrate or anything. When it grips you, when that grace of supplication comes upon you, and when that thing you seek the Lord for, when it becomes so heartfelt and it engages and it takes over every part of you, you lose sight of all these things that don't matter. You just want Jesus. You see yourself in his presence. Jesus. 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 And as he was praying in verse 43, he said to his servant, go now, look towards the sea. We read this last week. And the servant said, there is nothing, I see nothing. And he said, go again. And seven times. It seemed like nothing was happening. But finally, and the seventh time, the servant came and said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot and get thee down so that the rain does not stop you. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds, was thick with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. There was a great rain. Just as the word had said, because a man prayed. Because a man prayed. But when he started praying, it seemed like nothing was happening. He could have given up. That's why the Bible says, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't be discouraged. Satan has a way of creating cycles. Cycles of failure. Cycles of disappointment. So that you keep feeling, my prayers are not worth much. Yeah, I know God hears pastor. I know God hears the other people. These people are Jim Jim. How do you know? How do you know they are Jim Jim? You don't know. You don't know their relationship with the Lord. So yeah, these people are perfect. How do you know? There is no one perfect. But for me, you know, my prayers are hardly ever answered. They hardly ever leave. Well, today your prayers are being answered. We've already learned some things. If Jesus could stop for blind Bartimaeus, he'll stop for you. He'll stop for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I feel it twisting me into a pretzel. Ooh, it's the spirit of grace and supplication. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for just 1 minute. Hallelujah. Pray for just 1 minute. Oh, pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody and then pray for something that is dear to your heart right now. This is your moment. Something's happening. This is your moment. Pray for something that is dear to your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you because something is happening in the realm of the spirit. Nothing is turning into a cloud, a small cloud that looks like the hand of a man. Nothing is turning into a small cloud that looks like the hand of a man. And that small cloud is turning to a great cloud, to great winds, great rain. Something is happening. We receive it, Father, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Something is happening. When it touches your heart, when it touches your heart, it's effectual fervent prayer. Do you remember when this man, his name, one of the kings of Israel, Hezekiah, the Bible says he was sick, and he was sick unto death. I believe that's 2 Kings, it must be 2 Kings, I think 2 Kings 20. He was sick near unto death. He was almost sure that he would die from this sickness. It was almost certain he would die from this sickness. Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20 from verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you will die, you will not live. Look at that. He received a message from God when he was sick. It was like a final verdict. It was like, this is done. It's over with. Oh, beloved, prayer changes things. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sorry if you hear me speaking in tongues. I'm not trying to do that in public, but that's just that river flow. So if you hear me at any point and I start praying in tongues, just pray. Let's just jump in that river together. Hallelujah. He said the verdict was final. He said, in fact, God said, you will die, you will not live. Well, what did he do? In verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now. Remember how I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He wept sore. The Amplified says he wept bitterly. Lord, remember. It was a final verdict, but the man turned his face to the wall. It twisted him. It was heartfelt. It came from deep within him. He faced the wall and started praying and started groaning and started praying, Lord, remember. Do you know the prophet who came to give him the message that this is the verdict and you will not live? That prophet had not gone past the door. The man just left the outer door, the corridor. He was on his way out, and God spoke. Because God stopped and heard the prayer of Hezekiah, his effectual, fervent prayer. And the Lord said, look at it here. In verse 4, it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day, you will go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own name's sake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took a lump of figs, and they laid it on the boil, and he recovered. That boil was supposed to take him out. That boil was supposed to be, that was the sickness that was supposed to kill him and end his life. But prayer, effectual, fervent prayer, the Lord heard him. You know, I know we talk about sometimes it takes a while. But it doesn't take a while because God isn't hearing. There's so many different reasons why sometimes we just need to keep on praying. We need to stay there and keep on praying and not quit and not give up. But I tell you, friends, there's something that we haven't learned. Sometimes prayer does not even take that long. The miracle doesn't take long to come. Sometimes, just like that, you just ask the Lord. Oh, I wish I could tell you how many times I just asked the Lord. I mean, there have been times and things that I prayed and prayed and prayed and just stayed there and just stayed there and just, but there's some things and sometimes I just asked the Lord just like that. And he did it just like that. And I know it's the same for many of his people. And you will not be an exception to that. Just like that. It says, before the man left the corridor, God said, go tell him I've added 15 years. 15 years. Heartfelt. Do you remember I talked about that woman earlier, Hannah? Hannah who prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You remember that woman? Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She's the one who prayed when the priest said, why are you drunk again? She said, no, I'm not drunk, priest. She said, I'm not drunk. She said, I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's read a few verses here together. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's read from verse 13. Sorry, from verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul. All of these are talking about effectual, fervent prayer. And she vowed a vow. She knew about a vow. Something was quickened within her to vow, make a vow to the Lord. And she made a vow and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but if you will give unto your handmaid a man child, she was articulate, give me a man child, then I will give him unto you all, I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there will no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass that she continued praying. I like that. She continued praying. She just kept on praying. That the priest Eli marked her mouth. Now Anna, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. And Anna answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. I'm not a drunkard. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Faith. She believed she had registered in heaven. The groaning, the petition, the deep longing and yearning of her heart, she believed was registered before God. And she expected an answer. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned. And they came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered her. The Lord will remember you in the name of Jesus. If you will stay in the place of prayer, if you will keep elevating and keep elevating and keep elevating, effectual, fervent prayer, the Lord will remember you shortly. It will not take long at all. It will not take long. I tell you, everything is being put together right now. The environment, the what we need, atmosphere is being set. Things are happening. There's a shift going on. Things are being put in place for the delivery of our blessing, for the delivery of what our heart yearns for the delivery of what we are seeking from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hegege. Kele porodike se prediasta. Sheteleapra. Mandereke bobos. Mandarababa. The Lord will remember you shortly. The Lord will remember you shortly. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my time is almost up tonight, but I want to read one last story here in the New Testament. Meke reke baba suto dudus. Lepre nige gebo shite lepra kavadise prehia. When the early church, the disciples, when they went out to do what they had been commissioned, the authorities arrested them. They beat them, they threatened them, and they warned them, don't preach in this name anymore. Don't preach in this name anymore. And then they let them go. And when they let them go, they didn't go out crying and feeling sorry for themselves. You know, when things happen in our lives that are not favorable, we ought not to buy into this lie of the devil that suggests to us God has forgotten about us, or that suggests to us God doesn't care about us, or that suggests to us that we're just, yeah, this is just our lot. How many stories have we read tonight where there was a verdict, where it seemed like this is the way it's going to be, and yet prayer changed it. Prayer will change that verdict. I'm speaking to someone tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the prophetic anointing upon my life. Prayer will change that verdict shortly. What was written will be erased, and something new will be written concerning you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All I need you to do is pray. Just stay in the place of prayer. Just stay in the place. Keep swimming in that river. Let it start from that sprinkle. Let it go into the stream, and then let it become that river. And then just keep swimming in that river and don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. And that verdict will be rewritten. I declare that to you on account of the word of God. They said to them, don't ever preach in this name again. If you do, they threatened them. Look at what they did in Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Being let go, they went to their own company, and they reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. Listen now. They lifted up their voice to God. These individual houses of prayer became this great house of prayer. Lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, you are God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. They are speaking the word back to him. They are speaking the word back to him. They are quoting the scriptures. They told God, you are the one who created everything, so nothing is impossible for you. See, in effectual fervent prayer, the Holy Spirit quickens the word. That's why it's important, very crucial, to meditate in the word. Ongoing, day and night, day and night. Give the Lord something to work with. Give him something. Get a basis, a foundation for your prayer. He said, Lord, you made everything. And then they switched to another scripture in verse 25. It says, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Amazing. Amazing. They went all the way back to the second Psalm, Psalm 2. All the way back. Notice now they are praying, effectual fervent prayer. But they went all the way back to Psalm 2, and they started regurgitating Psalm 2 back to the Lord. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Verse 4, but he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Ooh, they started giving the word of the Lord back to him. The Holy Spirit quickened that scripture in Psalm 2 in their heart. And they probably knew, maybe through meditation before this or whatever, and they started putting that scripture back. And they knew that scripture in that moment was applicable to their time and to their situation. So they quoted it in their prayer to the Lord and used it as the basis for the miracle they were asking for. Oh, our time is almost gone. They said here, let's go back, Acts chapter 4, let's close this out. Let's close this out. In verse 28, he says, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined to be done beforehand. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, in verse 31, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. Heaven came down to earth. Heaven came down to earth. The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, great grace came upon them. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They went out. The anointing of God came upon them. They were engaged. They were bold. They were anointed. And the glory of God came upon them. Oh, hallelujah. And reminding myself, I'm still in the teaching lesson. We're not done. We haven't closed the service yet. So I should act a little bit normal. More normal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While they were praying, the place began to shake. The place began to shake. Heaven heard. Heaven heard. And God responded. He anointed them with fresh oil. Fresh grace. I speak fresh grace upon you tonight. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. For every dryness in your life, fresh oil. Do you know the river can flow in a dry place? And there can be no evidence that there ever was dryness in there. I prophesy that upon you tonight. That as we pray, effectual fervent prayers, every dry place will become a river. Every dry place will become a well-watered garden in the name of Jesus. Do you receive that? Do you receive that? The apostles received it. The disciples received it. Blind Bartimaeus received it. Hannah received it. Hezekiah received it. Come on, receive yours. Receive yours. Pray with me in the Holy Spirit for just 1 minute as we close. In the name of Jesus, we receive every word you have spoken, Father. We receive every word. We receive what you have spoken to us tonight. We receive your word. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. Have your way. Quicken us. Quicken us. Quicken the word of God within us. Quicken the word of God within us. We receive breakthroughs. We receive miracles. We receive answers in the name of Jesus. In the kingdom of God, we receive breakthrough. In the body of Christ, we receive breakthrough. For our brothers and sisters, we receive breakthrough. In our nation, we receive breakthrough. In the name of Jesus. In our ministry, we receive breakthrough. In our finances, we receive breakthrough. In our physical bodies, we receive breakthrough. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you praise, O God. We give you glory, Father. We lift you up and we exalt you. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Just bless his name as we close this out. Bless his name. He is the Lord, he's faithful. He's the Lord, he's faithful. The disciples said, you are the one who created the heavens and the earth. You are the Almighty God. Nothing is too difficult for you. Blind Bartimaeus said, you are Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Son of David. You are the Almighty God. There is nothing you can do. You are the healer of men. You are the healer of men. You are the restorer. Heal, heal, heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise, oh God. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. Keep on praying and keep on praising him and keep on rejoicing. Hallelujah. Your prayers are being answered. Something is happening. Heaven is shaking the earth. Heaven is shaking the earth. Miracles are coming down. Miracles are coming down. Lay hold on the horns of the halter and don't quit. Don't give up. Something is happening. Something is happening. Father, we bless your name. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.